The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
9:35 this Monday morning. As always, great to have you with, and thank you for the text and emails. 51551. You can email ryan@rte.ie. We were thinking about the expression OCD and the fact that some people would have, before the coronavirus came along, would have been compulsive about washing hands and other ticks and quirks that amplified their condition, if you like. One person I spoke about this with was Rebecca Ryan. I spoke to her about 4 years ago when she had her book, My Teenage War with OCD. And we said, let's give her a call and see how she's doing. Rebecca, good morning to you. Nice to talk to you again.
Hi, Ryan. How are you?
How's life since we last met?
Life has been pretty good. Definitely crazy so far.
That's for sure. You were what, 16 the last time we spoke?
I was 16 years of age.
And now?
Now I'm 20.
No.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
All grown up.
And what are you studying, or did you go on to?
I'm studying software engineering in LIT in Limerick.
Very good. And you're enjoying it, I hope.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Now, remind us about the OCD that you talked to us about, and what was happening in your life at that time.
Back when I had OCD, I was about 13 years of age, but I've had it ever since I was about 4 years old.
Yeah.
I was terrified of the color blue, the number four. I couldn't look at the brown dots in the wood of floors or furniture because I thought it resembled tumors or cancer. It was really odd, awkward compulsions.
Yeah.
And some of them came to be really, really strange. Like some of them were once-off compulsions based on how anxious I was.
Yes.
So there was an element of hand washing and an element of trying to keep my family safe, things like that.
And, you know, people would say to each other, you're so OCD, as a sort of a pejorative term. But when you have it, it's not so funny.
Oh, no, absolutely not. It's really not that funny because you're living with it every single day and you get to see the intricacies and the scariness of it.
So you managed to overcome it, you said, when you had it. So that's good news. And what was the trick?
The trick for me was just a number of things, actually. First of all, it was CBT therapy. But when that didn't work because it was so severe, I went on a bit of medication. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I could not have gotten over it, despite the CBT and medication, without the support of family and friends, and also just a little bit of humour.
Yeah. You got to laugh.
Absolutely, you got to laugh. And I think that's the case with the coronavirus as well, just tastefully.
Yes, you're so right. And the key being that last word you added there, tastefully, because some people are going through the horrors, and yet other people, we need a bit of humour to get us through it. With all this hand washing and hand sanitizing that's going on all the time, and completely and necessarily so, what do you think you, Rebecca, with OCD, would have made of this?
I think I would have found it slightly ironic, to be quite honest, because I've seen a lot of people hand washing and sanitizing and wearing gloves and things, and I'm thinking, I've seen this before in OCD documentaries, but now the whole world is doing it. It's really weird to me. Like, the whole world is experiencing anxiety that someone with OCD would experience on a daily basis.
Okay, let me talk to Claire, I think. Claire Doyle, good morning to you, Claire.
How are you doing? How are you, Ryan?
Very good. We spoke as well.
We did, about 8 or 9 years ago.
Yeah, and remind us of where you were at that time.
I was experiencing OCD, but since then I've done a lot of work on psychology of it. I've trained as a nurse. I'm actually a lot older than Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 48, shy of 49 now. But I wanted to see the physiological side of OCD, so I've done a degree in psychology. But the reason that I contacted the show was because of, I can imagine how everyone's feeling now, and that gives an idea of how people with OCD are feeling. And it's just to say to people with OCD, you know, don't be afraid. Other people with OCD are feeling it as well, and we'll get through it.
What is happening for people with OCD at this time?
I suppose it's confirming what you have feared in a way. The way you when you look at the environment with OCD, it's a fearful place. Everywhere is contaminated. There's risk everywhere. There's fear everywhere. I walked into my supermarket on Friday morning and all the people I know are wearing gloves. Some are wearing masks.
Yes.
And it's like a confirmation of what you feared all the time.
But before the virus.
Yes.
The fear would have been kind of irrational, wouldn't it? And I'm not saying that to be mean, but.
Yeah, no.
You know,
you're right.
There was no. We didn't need. We need germs sometimes at that time, not now, obviously, as you know.
Yeah.
So there was a sort of. You know what I'm talking about. You've done the psychology of all of this. So the confirmation is a sort of false confirmation in some ways because it's a pandemic. It's an absolutely unlikely, unwelcome scenario.
And that's exactly what you have to remember when you have OCD now. That this is a pandemic, it's a point in time that will resolve itself, and to remember that and not to let the OCD go on overdrive.
Yes.
Or not to think that, oh, I was right all the time, because you weren't right. It's just the way you're perceiving your environment.
That makes perfect sense.
Okay.
And how are you coping with it all?
I'm actually coping fine. I mean, I can put it into perspective. I look at it objectively. I studied the brain and what parts of the brain are affected in OCD. The limbic system is a major part. And there's a little structure called the amygdala that creates that gut-wrenching fear. So when I feel the fear, I'm thinking, that's my amygdala in overdrive there.
Yeah.
And I just settle my thoughts and then just move forward with whatever I'm doing. But it's really important to do that, to lean on who your supports are, whoever they are, whether that's if you have a therapist or family or people who you trust and provide security for you, and just keep talking about it. Don't bottle it or keep it in.
Yeah, talking is the answer, isn't it, in many ways?
It really, really is. And I suppose I'd be more aware of people in the public. There's some people I look at and they're petrified. You can see it in them just doing their shopping. And you feel sorry for them and want to say, don't be so afraid, we'll be okay.
That's a lovely thing to say. I was in the Super Value the other morning and there was a lady of a certain vintage.
Yeah.
And she had her walking stick was raised above her head as she was trying to tip a box of tea bags off the top shelf onto the ground. So I made a scramble to go down to get it, but she was too fast and she knocked the tea bags onto the ground. So all I could do was pick them off the ground for her and say, and hand them and say, there you are. But here's the thing. There's nothing wrong now with going up to people and saying, "Do you want a hand?"
Yeah.
You know, I am. You know, I'm not your friend, but I'm your neighbor. I'm your compatriot.
Yeah.
I'm a citizen.
Yeah.
And I care.
That's it. Exactly. And even just to smile at somebody or a nod and say, "I know."
Yeah.
It's amazing how that can help you and change your day and change the way you're thinking. Because with OCD as well. Thoughts are getting stuck. It's like getting stuck in gear. But little things can unstick that. That's the wrong term to use. But do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah, I do.
Really
I
important.
Do. But I just think that I've noticed a lot of people saying more and more that they're having freak out moments.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You know, that is to say that there'll be a moment in the day when they're going to go, "Crikey, what is going on here?" And then it goes, thankfully. But there is a moment where you just nearly have to go, and breathe.
No matter how level-headed you are or practical or it's just a really unusual place we're in at the moment.
Yeah.
And we're all feeling it. And if we help each other and we have little freak-out times at different times, we can help each other get out of them.
It's so true. And even with the walks and people giving out about everyone landing in a certain place, if we can even in our heads try and stagger the walk, if I'm going to go really early to try and beat the crowd so I don't contribute to that, or everyone's going to that place, let's try and find a less common or popular place to go to. You know, think.
Yeah, think outside the box. I'm from Wicklow and Glendalough for me would be a regular place I would go walking, but I haven't been near it since this started.
No, and quite rightly, you're coming down with the suggestions in Wicklow to visit that you'd know quieter places that you could, you know, head to, and you know, like Avondale up in Rathdrum or
definitely
Glencree or wherever you might be going. There's beautiful places around there in Roundwood and so on.
There is, and the other thing about OCD or feelings of OCD as well, there's a part of the brain called the striatum, and the more you do an action, It becomes a habit.
Right.
And so we will develop these habits of washing our hands and being careful. And even when the virus passes and we're all okay, people may feel still afraid and still scared. And that's normal as well. It'll take a while for the feelings to go. It's just the way we're wired.
Yep.
So it's good to know that too.
I've also cut down my listening to and watching the news. That is to say, not that I don't want to be ignorant. Initially, I was kind of wanted to hear every bit of it, and now for my own sanity, I'm just kind of looking at the 6 or the 9, and that'll do nicely. And even at that, not all of it, because you know, I'm watching stuff that kind of brings a bit of calm to my head and my heart, rather than you know, watching constantly.
I was with my partner on Saturday night and he said to me, right, tonight is a virus-free night. We're not talking about it. We're anything else but it. And it does work.
What are you watching? What are you watching to distract?
I don't actually watch a huge amount of television.
Yeah.
It's more, I love music. Absolutely love music. Everything from classical. My father was a tenor. I'm actually myself learning to play the piano at the moment. Now that's on hold, obviously. But music probably would more so, and books. Reading. I love reading.
I must say, I read a lovely little novella this weekend, and have another one started this morning before work, which I've just fallen completely into, which is great. I won't recommend it just yet in case it doesn't live up to expectations. But you know, it's a great time for reading, because even the other day, my oldest one daughter was saying. I was going to say, I wanted to show her Raging Bull, the Robert De Niro's great boxing movie. And she said, not just today, because my head can't take it today. And she meant it in the sense that she said, I'm too distracted, which is a really honest response to it. Because I'd feel the very same way. It's like, not today. Then another day you go, okay, I'm ready for this. And that's not a virus-related thing. Some days you're just up for that. And then equally...
Exactly.
There's only so much TV you can watch. That's when reading comes in, where you just turn off that screen and get a gorgeous book in your hands.
Exactly, exactly. And actually, Rebecca was very good there. She was talking about people look at OCD as being one fear. You do your CBT and it's all fine. But that's not the case. It's a spectrum of things that can affect people at different times. That's important to remember as well.
Yeah.
And also you brought in about people can be very trivial about OCD. And it's not really a real condition and you're not really afraid, but you're petrified. And if people could respect it, it would really help.
Yeah, and that's a fair point. Rebecca, what are you doing to keep yourself occupied?
Really, I've been given a ton of college work. So there's nothing glamorous about that.
That is the answer to that question. And I know. And I know a lot of the schoolgoers are doing all their homework and essays and everything else. So everyone's doing their bit. Listen, Rebecca, it's lovely to talk to you again. And Claire, to you, thank you both for your time. Really appreciate it. And go easy.
No problem. And you. And Ryan, you mind yourself as well. You're very good.
You're as good. Thank you so much. At 12 minutes to 10 o'clock. Lovely to talk to our friends there. Marie was on to say, agree with the point made by the father of the community pharmacist. That was Mike. My sister has had the same experience. She works so hard as a pharmacist. People need to be civil. Mary in Limerick says, I love to bake with cooking apples. I have a glorious apple tree and I have lovely cooking apples right up until now, picked and stored carefully. Totally agree with you about no nuts on Eve's pudding. It's great just on its own. Keep up keeping the nation smiling and stay safe. And thank you, Mary in Limerick. Siobhan says, I lost my beloved mum suddenly on the 6th of March, which I'm sorry to hear. Yesterday was a very hard day, made easier by the gift of a locket with my mum's picture in it from my two truly amazing children, who are young adults now, but still my kids. Can you give a big shout out to my daughter, Maeve, who is still working in Supervalue despite her grief over losing her beloved granny, and to everyone working with her? They are truly amazing. I'm happy to do that. You are blessed with those beautiful girls and... You're hopefully you're minded, and I hope you're okay, because it's not an easy time, especially at the moment, to lose somebody close to you. 51551 is the text number. Let's take a quick break.